Mr. Bond, my name is Fields. I'm from the consulate.
Well, of course you are. What do you do at the consulate, Fields?
That's not important. My orders are to turn you around and put you on the first plane back to London.
Those orders include my friend Mathis.
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
You see that? Gone such a short time, already forgotten.
You're just saying that to hurt me.
Mr. Bond, these orders come from the highest possible authority.
Taxi, Fields. When is the next flight to London?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, then we have all night.
If you attempt to flee, I will arrest you, drop you off in jail, and take you to the plane in chains. Understand?
Perfectly. After you.
I think she has handcuffs.
I do hope so.
This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. We have Andrew Douglas and Damien on board. And tonight we are going to be talking about
lots of
stuff.
So you talk about yourself in the third person though?
Apparently.
Did he ever not talk about this?
So anyways, you should start with what we've been watching. So Damien, what have you been watching?
Why start with me? Douglas is unemployed. He'll have the most interesting shit.
Really? I do have more than usual. Still, it's not that huge. So I watched Grindhouse, the theatrical version.
That's the first time you're watching it?
No, it's not the first time I'm watching it. No, it's not. But it's the first time I'm watching it in the proper definition on Blu-ray. And it was kind of awesome.
Oh, and just a question. You got the new Grindhouse disc which came out. That only comes with the 3-hour version, right?
Only with the Yeah, the regular, the theatrical one. It doesn't come with the extended, so I'm going to have to get that too. Need to get some money.
Let's see how unemployment treats you.
I know.
good luck with
that. So yeah, it was good. There were a couple of things that I didn't remember from way back when I saw it originally, and that was kind of fun. What? I love him.
He hits him.
I know he does, and he's crazy.
I hate Tarantino's one.
Another...
This is alright. As expected.
Yeah.
Lots of guns.
Yeah, shooting shit.
Okay, another thing that I saw that you're going to again tell me about, Douglas. You haven't seen it already? Yes, I have, but no, not in the proper definition. It's Stardust. I watched Stardust the other day, and that movie is fantastic, and it deserves a Blu-ray treatment.
It's so good. Question. For these Blu-rays, Grindhouse as well as Stardust, like, is there anything special added to them which makes this like more appealing?
To tell you the truth, I haven't
seen shit properly.
Exactly. There's that, but I haven't gone through much of the extras on Grindhouse, and by much I mean any. But I did go
Thank you for that definition.
Yeah, okay. I did go through some. Actually, the Grindhouse Blu-ray looks like it has a lot of good stuff on it. But again, haven't done anything. Haven't seen any of them. Stardust has just, you know, the run-of-the-mill deleted scenes, theatrical trailer, that kind of foolishness, and it has a blooper track, so it's not really that great.
Am I the only one that doesn't give? Fine. Most people who watch, like most people who get DVDs, tend to buy them for the, like they want the extras and whatnot, and they'll buy a different version because there'll be more extras and more shit. But I really, I can't tell you what was the last extra anything that I've watched. I just watch movies or the TV show or whatever it is.
I agree with you, Damon. 90% of the time, I mean, I go through extras on my DVDs a lot, but there are a lot of DVDs which I still haven't even touched the extras or the commentary or stuff. However, like, I find that when you're talking about all these discs and for the people out there who are like, I want that extra, I just wanted them to see if there was anything special about it other than the obvious that it's in 1080p. I was just asking.
That's the only feature I look for.
Just two other things. One thing I watched was Splice, and boy,
I saw that movie as well.
Okay. That movie was not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
No, no.
See, I wasn't a fan of it at all either.
Falling on my side.
I was okay with it until the third act when it was doing a lot of, like, it wasn't so much commenting on science or being preachy about how cloning is wrong or anything. It was just really being about these guys trying to be parents and how their parents have ruined their ability to be parents, or marked their ability to be parents. Like, you see that with the Sarah Paulus character.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came into the third act and it just became a monster movie, I was like, hell no.
Actually,
where did all of that shit come from?
You see, with me, I was kind of the opposite. I liked, in a sense, where the movie was going in the first two acts, like, as you said, because it had those threads, but at the same time, it's really fucking boring. Really boring in the first two acts. And so I was like, what the hell is this? And when it got to that piece where it was like, oh, this is just a monster movie, I was like, well, at least, you know, there's some killing or something. Like, but even then, I was like, but this is ridiculous.
I mean, when they tried to drown her and didn't realize that she could breathe on the water. All right, guys. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Where the hell is this movie going?
I'm sure and then another 30 didn't know that was going to work.
And then another 30 minutes later, they're like the most loving parents in the world. Like, didn't you guys try to kill her not 30 minutes ago? And then by the end of the movie, I just went, yeah. All right.
There we go.
Uh-huh. All right, moving on.
Yeah, the last thing that I watched was a TV show called The Good Guys. It stars Colin Hanks and a bunch of other people I don't know.
TV show looks bad.
Yeah,
like half an episode.
Yeah, my friend told me it was fantastic, but I watched the first episode and it looks rather tame and unexciting and not that great. Yeah. But I don't know, maybe I'll keep with it, maybe I won't. We'll see. But that was it for me this week.
Okay. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't watch anything that I didn't like this week. I was in a shitty mood. And so I just watched movies that made me feel better. I watched 2012 again. I watched Zack Snyder's two masterpieces again.
You went and you said Guardians of Gotham?
Sure.
No, I think you watched Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, that's
what I actually like that movie.
Uh-huh.
That is Zack Snyder.
Right, and that's not one of them. I rewatched Ben-Hur.
You know, I haven't seen that at all.
Really, Andrew?
Really.
While I remember liking it when CVM was showing it during Easter all those many millions of years
when
ago.
It was 10 hours long.
Yeah, no. Man, that movie, not so much.
So when they cut it down to 3 hours, you're not liking it.
I mean, the restoration that they did on that Blu-ray is quite remarkable, but that movie is boring. Like, really boring. And it is on, like, they could have, serious, I'm pretty sure they could have cut that shit down to about an hour and a half. And everyone, because all anyone cares about is the chariot races. Like, what else? Is there anything else in that movie? It's just people talking and that. So that one was, like, I thought I liked the movie. And when it turned out I was wrong, I got annoyed. So I started watching Westerns again, and it's been quite a while. Started with The Greats, Good, Bad and Ugly.
Oh, I know you're going to mention that again.
Of course, that is. Tombstone.
Which Tombstone?
The Tombstone.
The Tombstone.
Is there a different Tombstone?
Okay, no, I was just under the impression that the Tombstone with Val Kilmer and them was a remake. It is not.
I don't know.
Okay.
It might be, but it definitely isn't the same title.
Okay, I love that movie. To death. Anyway. Keep going.
So good.
Val Kilmer shows that he is a proper actor in that film.
He does every now and again.
I know, that's the thing, right? But I just hate that, you know, it's only every now and again, and then you get kind of comfortable. But no, you get comfortable in the sense that Val Kilmer is awesome, and then you watch some rubbish, and you're just like, why?
Have we talked about that movie?
No, we haven't, but I think Andrew actually does like MacGruber.
That movie is so horrible. Shit, that movie sucks.
I didn't watch that movie. I heard it was bad, though.
I continue to watch Terriers, and it continues to be very good.
Of course, I'm like five episodes behind.
Dexter continues to meander. I don't know what the hell they're doing this season.
Still haven't seen the last episode of that one.
But hopefully they the pickup.
You just want to kill people.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I watched the first four seasons. I think they'd have nailed that down at this point. I saw Top Gear America. I think
there's one. Yeah,
they've been talking about making one.
No, there is one. I think it's a preview of the first episode or whatever, and it seems good. It seems to have as much jackassery as the British one.
Really? Who's in it? Is it anybody that you'd know? No.
It's people famous from the American auto world.
Okay. And would so, do they fill the same sort of roles that the guys over there in the UK fill?
No.
Is there an American steak?
Yes. These guys are jackasses, and they really love cars, but they love like Americans really enjoy muscle, and because they are no longer allowed to make those cars, the few companies that do go really overboard, and so it's fun to see them essentially. Attack their own automakers and while defending them. So it shouldn't make sense, but it does. It's really
fan
fun.
Critiques.
Yeah. I saw the first episode, like the preview episode of Walking Dead.
Oh yeah? Is it any good?
That shit is going to be awesome.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a big zombie fan, not a horror film person. But for what they crammed into that first hour and 10 minutes, 20, whatever, however long that first episode is, and that shit could have been a movie. And who is running AMC now? How do they do this? I mean, it seems really good.
Listen,
really, really
it's good. It's gotten to the point where I'm thinking, I'm rethinking my decision to hate on Hustle. Did you ever watch that TV show?
No.
AMC had a TV show with a bunch of British people called Hustle.
Yeah, that was
and
shy.
It looked horrible. And I remember watching an episode and saying, yes, Douglas, you are correct. It is horrible. But with all the stuff that they have coming out now, I'm thinking, really? Are you sure?
I still have Mad Men. You don't get it right all the time.
I love Mad Men. Mad Men is awesome.
Mad Men is alright, Andrew, but
no, it is not.
No, it is not.
I like
awesome.
It. I like Mad Men, but I have to say,
what happens?
Clearly, it's not good enough for me to go back. Right?
I can't, Andrew. I'm sorry. I have to give up. I just don't understand what the hell is going on. It's just men talking. I mean, what? No, I'm sorry. All Mad Men. I'm sure you guys love it. I don't know why. It's not funny. There's barely any drama. Seriously. So I don't know. But that's pretty much it. I ordered Tom and Jerry volume year 1 and 2 or volumes 1 or 2. Whatever it is. I cannot wait for them to get here.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. I was
like, I love Tom and Jerry.
I was flipping through the channels and I saw like one of the old Tom and Jerry cartoons. I'm like, alright. And like about an hour and a half later, I'm like, what the hell? Remember, they're not long, they're like 3 minutes
each. I know.
And I mean, for it to hold my attention, but I mean, they're just funny.
They are, yeah. I used to love those.
I was looking and there's versions out there that they've toned down. They're more politically correct. And so it took me a while to find the ones that weren't. I mean, that cartoon is racist. It's sexist. It is terrific. The portrayal of women and black people are so good. So.
Well, okay, so this week, I saw Spice, so I spoke about that a bit. I watched Red.
What do you think?
I really liked Red.
Of course you did.
Like, the
sense.
Action in it was kind of...
There's other things
really
in,
well done.
There's other things in it.
Malkovich was really awesome in that movie. Awesome. Like, no, sometimes his crazy caricature, which he does a lot, I find, can miss a bit.
For example.
But,
I think he's going to say Burn Notice. Burn After Reading.
But he's wrong.
I didn't like Burn After Reading
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, you're a crazy person.
In that movie. I cannot think of anything offhand, but
yeah, I'm right. Let's just make black.
I think you know what.
You know what?
I think he was probably horrible in Rounders, right? That was his worst film ever. Yes, yes, Andrew.
I don't have anything sharp to stop.
No, I love Rounders.
Everyone
and I think
loves Rounders.
All the Rounders.
John Malkovich was the best part of Rounders, I think.
I really
like making jokes like that.
Carl Urban was cool in that movie. I like Carl Urban in that. And also, what his name is in that movie, and I didn't even know. Brian Cox is in that movie, and he completely works. I like his character. The only thing that I can say kind of negative about the film is that Helen Mirren, as much as a brilliant actress
she is,
underused in the
film.
Oh,
okay.
Give me a moment. Like, you know that she's great, but I mean, other than having an old lady with a gun, like, what else does she do?
Fair enough. Fair.
Also, this week I watched Winter's Bone, which
is it good?
Hmm?
Is it good?
It is awesome.
Okay.
It is Frozen River times 5 million. I didn't like Frozen River, but this movie, it made everything that was Frozen River work. It took the setting idea of Frozen River in like this country town with all of these hicks and this place that you're nowhere near familiar with, and took the detective story that we all know and love and gave us this movie that was great. I kind of want to go back, and I can't remember the director's name right now, but her first film she directed, I think it's To the Bone or Down to the Bone. I don't know why Bone is in both titles. And Vera Farmiga is in that film, and everyone loves that one. I want to go back and watch that one now. But Winter's Bone is really awesome. It's like the detective movie of this year that people need to see.
It's a detective movie?
It's basically a detective movie.
Is the girl a detective? Or does
Why
she die and
this?
A detective detects her death?
She is basically the detective.
Sorry, so what you're saying is you're trying to make me watch a children's movie with Nancy Drew? Is that what you're saying?
I'll move on. I rewatched this movie. It's been a really long time for me. Groundhog's Day.
All right, Yoda.
directed by Harold Ramis, starring Bill Murray.
I'm pretty sure everyone on the planet knows what Groundhog's Day is.
And Douglas can attest to this. I've always hated this film. Like, I
feel as a brother, you know. You do realize that.
I haven't watched this movie since I was
twice.
I don't know.
No, twice.
Okay,
you failed. You have failed as a. You failed once. You failed twice, though. Twice. Just so you know.
But I have to say that I really liked it.
No shit.
That movie is so great, Andrew. So great.
One thing that I really liked about it is that you went along, like, mm-hmm. even though you definitely don't have any verifiable date as to how long this lasted for Bill Murray's character, you get these moments where, like, you see him. There's this one point where he's with, I can't remember the girl's name, the love interest, and they're flicking cards into this hat. And he's doing it perfectly, and she's like, I suck. And she's like, I wonder how long you have to take to be perfect at this. And he's like, just 6 months, you know, a few hours every day, and you'll be good. And you know right there that he meant that it's been 6 months since he started to pretend to do that.
Right.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people have...
slow
descent
into madness.
Exactly. A lot of people have opined on how long he's been in this... sort of limbo in the movie, and
there's a lot of people with too much time.
Yeah, there really is. And a lot of people have said, oh, you know, it's this long, it's that long. Some people have said it up to 10 years, and Ramis actually talked about it, and the original script, he was there for like a good 100 or 200 years or something.
Yeah,
it was a long time.
I would imagine that the way that movie is, that he was there for like two centuries
yeah.
or something like that. Also, one thing that I really liked, and holy shit, I've forgotten it already.
Needle Nose Ned.
Needle Nose Ned. I wasn't gonna go there. Like, he's a given.
Yeah.
Stephen Tobolowsky. Thumbs up on that one.
Tobo.
I really love that podcast, though, the Tobolowsky Files.
We had to pimp another podcast. You're the worst. You don't understand corporate mentality, even though.
What were you talking about? I remember the other day you were telling me how, oh my goodness, did you see that Michael Shannon was in this?
I spotted Michael Shannon in that movie for the first time. Have you seen him? You noticed him in there. Yeah. I didn't see him before. Oh, when I finished watching this movie this time around, like, it made me realize that I don't know if they had this intention when they made it, but Groundhog's Day strikes me as a new generation's It's a Wonderful Life. This guy who's miserable with his job and wants to do so much more, but even though you're sure he's going to get the opportunity, you're not sure, and he's a bit of a jackass, and he's been given this opportunity to realize his faults and how his life needs to change. It strikes me as that kind of movie in It's a Wonderful Life kind of style. However, I have to say, It's a Wonderful Life wins in the competition in my mind.
Now, I've never watched that movie, but Groundhog Day is just so awesome that it could never lose to anything. But I wanted to say that a cool little piece of trivia is that Tom Hanks was supposed to play Bill Murray's role before Bill Murray came along.
No, but as far as I know, Ramis wanted Bill Murray as his first thought.
Watch the extras on the Blu-ray, sir.
like, he speaks fervently about how...
Watch the extras on the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Right.
It's in the extra, it's right there.
Okay.
All right.
So there's... I mean, I love movies, but that back and forth a while ago is one of the few things that really irritates me about people who love movies, when they say, you know, this other guy was supposed...
Yeah.
I just don't understand who the fuck cares. It is what it is,
and it doesn't matter what could have been.
I remember
been, right?
when it really started to annoy me, like, it was after The Matrix came out, and they're like, you know, Will Smith was supposed to be Neo. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't give a shit. But what if... I don't. Why is it that people fix? And there's people who fixate on it. They're like, this person. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Especially for movies, you're like, no, if it's a shitty movie, you go, well, you know, this person. If that person was there,
like,
they would have been.
I get what you're saying, and I'm with you. But there are certain ones which I don't so much fixate on, but I like to think about, like, as you said, what if and. Even in the bad sense, like, what if they had made that horrible decision? Cause, like, I know with The Godfather, absolutely none of the cast the studio wanted, and Coppola had to film, like, 2 weeks without them knowing, and then show them the film of what he had done for them to go, like, all right, Al Pacino can be in the movie, and
what
Marlon
if Nick
Brando
Cage was
can
Superman?
Be Vito.
What if Nick Cage was Superman?
What if Eric Stoltz was Marty McFly, you know, that kind of thing?
What if we stop having this conversation?
You're the one who started this.
I just hate it when people do that.
But the best movie I saw this week, Winter's Bone, was not the best movie. Winter's Bone was a 9. This movie is a 10. And
Andrew just watched Monkey. What is it called? Monkey Bone? Or that's what he probably watched. I thought it was the best one.
Why, Douglas?
What was his name again? Chris, I don't even know.
Brendan Fraser was in that movie.
I think he was for a second, yeah. But no, the other guy from SNL, you know, Chris Kattan, yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was the big movie, right?
I'm guessing Monkey's Bone. I don't know what to say about this movie because I've actually never seen it. But I know I've seen like a clip of it when I was young and it was on TV. But that's about it.
Yep.
So anyway,
what is this fantastic movie?
The Mist. Frank Darabont's The Mist.
Best movie, my ass.
I've been meaning to watch this movie for so long. I'm a huge fan of Tom Jane, so I've been meaning to watch it for a long time. It's based on a Stephen King book.
And Van Wilder.
And Frank Darabont, the director of Shawshank Redemption, once again goes to the Stephen King
well,
and pulls out this amazing film.
If you like boring shit.
I love this movie. It's like, it definitely at points is kind of preachy because it has a huge religious undertone, but I just love the ending of it.
I mean, it's better than The Happening. I mean, for in regards to movies where Breeze is killing people, I mean, it's definitely the better
there
of the
things in the mist.
It's definitely better than
hold on. So you're telling me that
the
this
moist
is a story about
people.
Polar bears?
No.
Okay.
It's about these things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can call them aliens because no one really explains what they are. Like, one has tentacles. One looks like a huge mosquito, which is like really crazy, and it's immense. Like,
mm-hmm.
these guys get trapped in a supermarket. It's a bunch of people. Like, they're all at the supermarket after a horrible storm. And when they're in the supermarket, the mist comes over the town. And they realize, holy shit, outside is dangerous now. And they all stay in the supermarket.
Does Tom Jane sell happiness in this
No,
movie?
He does not sell happiness.
He doesn't consult in any
way? He doesn't consult anyone happily.
Oh.
Does Woody Harrison show up at any point?
No, he doesn't.
Jesse Eisenberg?
No. You know what? The Mist is awesome and I love it. I actually spoke to someone right after about the book as to how it differs. Like, basically in the movie, the last
mm-hmm.
2 minutes are tacked on
right.
from the book. And I actually prefer the way the movie ends because it's more of a kick in the teeth. Because
you've read
the book,
right?
I actually have not.
Okay. But you still prefer it over something you've not read.
Well, if it's the same thing as the movie, which the person who's read the book told me,
mm-hmm.
then...
Then what? You still feel the need to know firsthand.
Alright. No. It's kind of like me going to you and saying,
Damien,
in The Happening,
no.
Breeze
no.
kills people.
Here's what you need to know about Andrew. Andrew doesn't read too good. Okay.
Goodly.
No. So, this is as good as it gets.
As close
okay.
as you have to actually read it. Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've now gone and said that The Mist is... I really don't want to watch Winter's Bone. You've just shot that movie in the
How about
foot.
Red? You still want to watch
No, Red? I know I love Red. I saw the trailer.
Oh.
No one fucks up action movies. So easy.
Do you really hate The Mist? Like,
no, I really, really do not like that movie. It's... Alright. Remember when we talk about Frozen?
Yeah,
right.
Frozen River or Frozen?
No, Frozen, the one
okay,
with the scaly and Matt, right.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But when we saw the trailer,
mm-hmm.
I was annoyed because it's... And like when you were trying to defend yourself when we were talking about 127 hours, about white people being aggressively white, that is how I found The Mist.
So hold on, what would you do differently in that scenario?
They're inside a supermarket,
mm-hmm.
right? So they have food...
Mm-hmm.
And shelter.
And you also have a crazy woman battling
right.
about the end of the world.
Right. So, after I shoot her, or tie her up with duct tape that must exist in the Superman, I'd go to sleep and wait until morning when the mist goes away. The movie would have been done in like 5 minutes. I don't understand why all... Like, you haven't seen it, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't.
Right.
I haven't.
When you watch it, if you watch it, you You understand. The decision making just annoyed me. I just don't understand. I mean, in situations like that, when there's people who are freaking out, you take care of those people first. You don't allow them to make everyone paranoid and freak out everybody else. And then they jump to conclusions and they make their reaction to certain things where it was just, in my view, quite stupid. So I was not a fan. Not a fan of that movie. But everyone's different. You say you love it because you're a crazy person. And I, not so much.
Went to a party. I danced all night. I drank 16 beers and started up a fight. First night
This week in trailers, the first trailer we saw this week was...
Oh, wait, sorry. So far, all we've talked about is what we watched?
Yeah.
Shit. I need another beer.
Maybe you need to slow down.
Unknown, the newest Liam Neeson film, in which, once again, he has to kick a lot of ass, it seems.
Can you tell me what you remember?
I was in a taxi. I crashed. I don't know how I got here.
You have been in a coma for 4 days. We couldn't find any identification with you. What's your name?
I'm Dr. Martin Harris. I've been gone for 4 days. My wife is out there in the city. She doesn't know.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have an invitation?
That's my wife over there. Liz.
Do I know you?
What's wrong? It's me. Your husband.
Martin.
You are Dr. Martin Harris?
Last time I looked.
Is this some kind of a joke?
You know this man?
No.
Please.
Get him out of here.
Liz! Liz!
Yeah, so Damien, what do you think of this trailer?
Alright, so... It looked like Taken. So if he's a doctor... I mean, we can't forgive them for that. But by the end of the trailer, you see that it's pretty much Taken. Which is good.
Except they took him away from him as opposed to his daughter.
I'm sorry, they did what now?
Did you
hear the statement that you just made? They took him
really
away from
that's
him.
That's what happens.
Basically,
you know what I think this is?
What?
I think this is a really, not interesting. I think this is a devious ploy to get us to watch Born Identity.
Yeah, that is. I think
this guy is not really a doctor. Neither is the guy that says he is Dr. Mike or whatever it is. What it is that Liam Neeson was a spy, or maybe not a spy, but some sort of, you know, guy.
He's a spy.
All right. So he's a spy that was supposed to pretend to be this doctor, and the wife person was supposed to be that.
Right.
And then they had this accident, and of course, Liam Neeson was the worst for wear, and so he couldn't deal with it, so somebody else went in his place. And I bet you that's what happens. And of course, he has this amnesia shit, where he's like, I think I'm this doctor, you know. So, and you notice he can fight.
Yes.
Which old doctor can fight like that?
Let's be serious. But then there was a quote. There is no whatever the hell.
Exactly, right, like, that too. All right,
it's
Born Identity.
That's good enough.
But
Born with Liam Neeson.
But exactly, I don't need that. I'll watch that same way.
In fact, if they just made the three Born movies.
Why not?
I'll watch it.
Like when I stopped off in this trailer, I imagined that whoever Liam Neeson's agent is sat in his room and he saw this and he said, I love it when a plan comes together. Because he started with Batman Begins.
You still watch that movie yet? 18?
Of course I have.
Okay, it's a team.
Oh yes, that's right. You even went to the movie to watch a team. Yeah.
The agent threw him into Batman Begins and he's like, why are you putting this? Like, I know Liam has always been there, but he's kind of faded out and he's just coming back as far as I'm concerned.
But Nolan said, I want
Batman Begins.
I want Liam.
And then you have a couple of scenes where he's fighting with Christian Bale.
What the fuck is a Ra's al Ghul? What?
And then, like, for every film afterwards, the director would come up to the agent and the agent would say, I know you think he's old, but look at this cut Nolan did with him and Bale. And then he got Taken. And then he got... another movie, and the A-Team, and now he has this, and it's just...
Then why was he in Clash of the Titans? I mean, yes, this is...
Release the Kraken!
Which is awesome. But that's all he
did.
You
know, to know how to watch that movie.
You don't need to.
That movie looks horrible.
The girl is pretty, and Liam Neeson says, release
true.
The Kraken.
This is true. I believe it's the same girl. Was it Gemma Arterton in the movie that we're talking about today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
You know, I wasn't sure and I still
and
looked it up.
The same one in Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Quantum of Solace too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gemma Arterton's getting around.
She's pretty to look at.
And she's naked in the movie we just watched.
Which is mostly... that's the main reason I want to watch. Let's be honest. Anyways. And the Enra Haga.
Yeah.
From that stupid fucking movie.
Anyways, another movie, another trailer we saw this week was Rare Exports. Where apparently Santa Claus is real.
It's the most magical time of the year. When traditions are honored. And the youngest among us still believe in the spirit of the season.
We have Santa Claus.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. And he doesn't give up.
Douglas, what did you think?
What did I think? Okay, so this trailer started out cheesy and horrible. This trailer ended dark and quite weird. And I know that both Andrew and Damien think that, oh, this is definitely a Douglas kind of movie. But I'm not sure. Like, I watched the trailer and I guess, because I can piece together everything, but I can't logically see why these events occur. And so I'm confused at the end of the trailer.
And that's why you want to watch it. Yes, you do.
So you want to watch this movie. Let's get it straight.
Not that I want to watch this movie,
yes,
but
you do.
I need to watch this movie. Because I actually think that I probably will not like this movie. But I need to know why. I need to know what is happening.
And I need a hole and a why. This trailer is good.
Did you know that he knows when you're asleep?
Apparently he does. Apparently Santa does know when we're asleep.
So yeah, Damien, I really don't want to talk about this trailer.
No,
it looks horrible, and Andrew does not want to. No, like I would be, I would thumbs up this trailer completely if it was a Grindhouse trailer. In that it was a trailer for a fake movie that didn't exist. I get the joke as the trailer, but knowing that this is a real movie, Andrew says no.
No, I have to see how it plays out. I have to see how they took a Christmas tale at the start into essentially a monster movie starring Santa Claus. Like, Santa is going around killing people. I have to see it. I have to. I don't know who came up with this. I'm so glad someone bought the rights for this, because it needs a release. I have to watch this.
It needs a release
somewhere.
DVD.
I have to. Right?
Let's not kid ourselves. This is going to get released on Betamax.
Okay. I'll buy a Betamax. Amazon must sell on it. I don't care.
Anyways, the last trailer.
And the worst trailer.
That we're going to talk about is Rabbit Hole.
She, she visits me sometimes in dreams and tells me it's okay. And she's with God.
God had to take her. He needed another angel.
He needed another angel.
Why didn't he just make one? Another angel? I mean, he's God after all. Why didn't he just make another angel?
I forget that he's not here sometimes. Like, maybe he's just hiding under the bed. He's gonna pop out like he used to do. He's trying to make things nice.
You can't. All right, I'm sorry. Things aren't nice anymore. Feels like maybe I don't feel badly enough for you. Maybe I'm not feeling enough.
Something's gotta change. can't do this like this anymore. It's too hard.
And Damien, you can start us out since you went like that.
And it's about a family that lost a child. And this trailer is bad because they show you the start of the movie. They show you what is going to happen in the middle of the movie. And they show you that they work it out by the end of the... There's absolutely no reason.
So you're saying the woman, Nicole Kidman, planting that plant and smiling is her saying,
exactly.
I worked it out.
I mean, why did they show us all of that? They could have just given us like a small slice of them being miserable because they lost their child. And anyone that was going to watch the movie would have gone to see it. You see Nicole Kidman crying, and if that appeals to you, then you'd have gone. But I said, no, let us show you everything. Therapy, the old woman that's going to lead her into the light and show you that she's find some happiness by the end of the movie. Sure, it's bad.
So, I agree with Damien that this was a bad trailer.
Oh, interesting.
However, there are two things that this trailer told me. One, I will expect to hear a Broken Bell song in the soundtrack.
Actually, that's kind of never promised.
I know, it's never promised, but listen, I heard it in the trailer. If they don't put it in the soundtrack, I'm going
to
kill somebody.
I actually started listening to Broken Bells because of that trailer.
I love Broken
Bells.
So awesome.
Anyways.
You know who Broken Bells is, by the way? The lead singer of the Shins. And the backing is produced. Yeah, produced by Danger Mouse. So I love those guys. Anyway, so yes, that was one thing. Another thing was John Cameron Mitchell. That's all I needed.
You just called it three things.
That's all I needed. Listen, he is three things. He is awesome. Right? He gave me Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Therefore, I will watch anything that he
Short Bus.
Anything that he gives me otherwise. Short Bus is on the short list to be watched this week thanks to unemployment. And yes, I will watch it.
I hear people.
And yes, I will like it. And no,
so
you cannot. I'm promising
you.
No, I'm not predicting. I am promising you. I am guaranteeing a liking.
So next week, when I hear something like, I love this movie because it was so horrible, the guy did this in the beginning.
No, he's just going to count the three things and say he liked the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much.
A blind loyalty, like yourself with Tarantino.
But
like
yeah,
with Emmerich.
No, seriously,
yeah,
though, that's all I need in this trailer. The trailer is bad. The trailer shows a lot, and it's all about, oh, you know, these guys that have lost their kid and whatever.
Boo-hoo, you lost a child.
Exactly, I don't give a shit. But
like you're the only one. Have you been to Africa?
Child mortality is ridiculous. This trailer. You guys are completely right.
Right, but because you've lost a child recently, it really speaks to you on that level that me and Douglas doesn't understand. Right?
I guess I could say that. I'm not going to. The movie, like, it looks like one of those
like
movies.
Oscar bait, right? No, you're right.
Just
it looks like Oscar.
Just want me to cry at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it reminds me a lot of Revolutionary Road.
Right,
in
Oscar
that sense. Mm-hmm. And I want to watch those kinds of movies. So, I like this trailer.
Wait. Stop.
All
right. Wait. Say that one more time. I really need to hear what you just said.
I could press rewind. And
No, that logic is flawless. Flawless.
Did you just say that this trailer reminds you of Revolutionary Road, which is the type of movie that you want to watch there for? What?
Yes.
And moving on.
I don't. Was there nothing? I think you've been unemployed too long. You're really not working. I don't know. Flawless. Andrew wins.
I think so because my head hurts.
Flawless victory.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. No sequential notes, no traces, no paint bumps.
You wanna what?
Of course it is. She's worth a lot of money to us.
I haven't got much time.
Alex! We had a plan!
No, you had a plan. This is my plan.
Wake up, Miss Creed.
Anyways, this week we sat down and we watched The Disappearance of Alice Creed, which Damien chose. And
mm-hmm. Oh, this was your choice.
Yes.
I'd like Damien to tell us what this movie is about.
Okay. So they kidnap Alice Creed.
Yeah. And then she disappears.
She goes wrong. As all kidnapping movies have to. I don't know why they have to. Kidnapping seems to work out so well for everybody else. Only in the movies do kidnappings go wrong. How many times do you hear foil kidnapping plan on the news? Never heard it. Because they get paid, son. And they leave. It's so simple.
I have to say that I didn't like this movie at all.
It's not your fault. It's not that good. It could have been good.
Yes.
But then, the third act, they said, you know all that interesting, you know, that triangle that we set up and you know how things could end up interesting? Fuck all of that shit. No. We're going to end this movie how all kidnapping movies end. With...
Spoiling the whole movie.
But it's so cliche. It's better you know now so that it doesn't annoy you by the time the movie ends.
Why are you going to spoil the whole movie?
Look, it's not spoiling the movie. I knew that this was going to happen the second I saw the trailer. While the movie was going on, there was hope that the movie would have risen above that and done something special. And they decided, no. No, we're not doing anything special. Let's just go down cliche road again.
I really don't know how to continue this one.
No, but it's like the first two acts were good. I enjoyed it. It was engaging. Enjoy all the actors. That girl.
You enjoyed Gemma Arterton.
That girl, she.
Is that
she cannot. It was surprising. I didn't think she could. I was just hoping that she'd be naked more often, but she cannot.
Actually,
but they threw it all away. They threw it away.
Wait, sorry. Wait. Stop. Hold on. Did he not just start start off a while ago by saying that this movie was horrible?
I'm pretty sure he did.
And did he just say that he liked this movie?
Yes, he
did. Okay, continue.
I liked it when it was a to the T planned kidnapping.
Right.
The moment that things started to go off the rails,
to deviate, mm-hmm.
It became completely uninteresting.
I don't agree, but sure.
Like, as you said, you know where things are going. I wanted this to be I wanted Rafifi for this, even though Rafifi without the third act.
No.
I wanted Rafifi for this movie. I liked that they started at that point where they were preparing for the kidnapping, mm-hmm. And then you saw cuts of them preparing,
cut to kidnapping.
Really quick cuts, and then boom, the woman is grabbed and she's in the back of the van. After
you wanted a blueprint, essentially.
That's what Rafifi was.
Yes.
And once it went off, I really got uninterested. Like Arterton as well as Enraha. I don't even know his name.
I don't care anymore.
They're both really good actors, and they have their moments when...
The other dude can act too. He's convincing.
I didn't really think much of him. Like, he was okay. Like, I'm not going to say bad things about him, but like in comparison to the other two...
He choked out a girl with his foot. That is impressive.
The girl...
That's great acting.
There were moments where Arterton as well as Enraha showed once again that they're really... But sorry, I shouldn't say once again when I'm talking about Arthur. But Enra Ha showed once again that he's really good.
Sure.
But, like, he just was really predictable after the first act ended.
So annoying.
And I really hated that.
This is awesome. I think that the our reviews are essentially like a bunch of one-up-onces, because first you say, oh, the first two acts were awesome,
right,
but then the crap.
So
and then this guy is like saying,
the first act.
Listen, the first 10 minutes were awesome, right? You see that? Okay, so
my question is, what were you preparing to say before we started? Yeah.
No, I was going to say the same thing, but I just like the flow, the way that things are going. So I really liked the first 10 minutes where it was not it is a montage, but it's a little bit slower than what most people think a montage to be. It was essentially the plan and the preparation for the job. I loved it, and as soon as she got in the truck,
mm-hmm,
that killed it for me. I mean, not the getting into the truck. Yes, you know, in when you kidnap somebody, you must put them in the truck. You must then take them to where you're holding them, and that was fine. But once it got to that point, which was I think about 10 minutes into the movie, I went, okay,
I know
where
this is going.
How is this different from anything else?
And
yes, they had a couple like small details, and I guess at the same time I should really acknowledge that yes, most stories are generic with a couple details changed that make everything or make the movie unique, but in this case it really didn't do that. There were the details, like for example you've got, like you said, this guy Danny that is playing both the girl and the guy, right? Exactly. And you never quite know, even in the end, whether he was originally going to do what he did, or if he had, you know, this
plan.
Why
didn't they take that and run with that aspect?
Exactly, they could
have
done
that. They had to do to make it. No one will remember this movie.
Yeah.
Because they just made it so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to. I mean, it wouldn't have been mind-blowingly good.
You
just
like it because the woman is naked.
No, but I don't like it because they threw away any goodwill that they had. Douglas knew that he was... What annoyed Douglas is that the second she was at the house, he knew what was going to happen. Right? And he didn't hope that anything else was going to happen. He knew this was is what was going to happen. And it happened. Right? So, the movie is mediocre. I hoped that something was going to happen. Right? There was a hope. I'm like, alright. Yeah, I've seen this kind of thing before. Nice twist with the him loving the other kidnapper. That's cool. And then they went... They just threw all of that... At least they... I mean, they made no attempt to do anything special.
Yeah, and everything was obvious because, like, I remember even thinking to myself and looking at the way that this thing was filmed and the way that they orchestrated everything. And when Danny came out and was like, "It's me, it's Danny." I mean, from the get-go, you could see clearly that he had some sort of relationship with
exactly.
Israel because he wasn't talking, and it was, you know, it was orchestrated that way that he
didn't
never said anything. He never really got too close to her. And, you know, nothing in this movie was really... It was all just in your face.
I actually had a few questions for this film, like, when it was over, that I wanted a slight clarification.
Okay.
All
right. Right? Nothing huge. As you said, obviously, towards the second act, Danny comes out as to who he is to the girl.
He comes out
for one reason
twice.
Or another.
Double meaning.
And you see that the two of them knew each other, and it's not very clear as to whether they had a proper relationship at all before. But I'm going to go on assuming that they had a relationship at one point or another.
Boning.
He went to prison, which they also tell you. So here lies my question.
Mm-hmm.
A,
mm-hmm.
was the relationship pre or post prison?
Post.
Had to. Wait, his relationship
with the girl
yeah.
had to be pre prison.
Right?
Had to be.
That the dude contacted him after the dude got out. So therefore, we knew that he, Danny, got out of jail first.
Right.
And the dude got out later.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been months, years, and whatever happened.
So does it matter?
No, I'm coming.
Okay.
Right? I'm coming to my... As I said, these are little things, just curiosities of mine with the characters. So, if this relationship was pre-prison,
mm-hmm.
how long was he in prison for her to be like, holy shit, I'm still in love with you, kind of, or I'm kind of playing you right now? Like, for Danny to believe anything this woman is saying.
You see, that's the thing. That's why I think it was post-prison, because why would having sex with her seem...
viable.
Exactly. Right, like it made sense. I would think that he was carrying on this relationship after, and up until the point where he stole her.
Mm-hmm.
But
he stole her.
Come on, he wrapped her up in a bag and put her in the truck.
That should have been the name of the movie. He stole her.
He stole her. That actually would be a cool movie title. He stole her.
He stole.
Anyways, we're all negative on this film.
Yeah. I mean, I have another opposite thing to say, by the way. I actually thought that
an opposite thing, okay.
Yeah. What do you guys call him? Enyuha?
Enraha.
He was really good, like you guys said.
Mm-hmm.
But also I like Danny. Danny, I thought, was really good. But I didn't know, I know. But I did not like Gemma Arterton. I thought she was just the same.
The
she
moments,
wasn't
the moments where she had to make someone else believe what she was feeling was she was feeling it.
Yeah.
She worked.
This movie proved that she can act. No one said she was great at it.
All right, yeah, no, yeah. All right, I give you that. She's
before
not...
she was just pretty. They dressed
uh-huh.
her up and she looked good and she said, "Stand here and say these lines," and that's what she did. At least now, now I can see that she can be in some other stuff. She don't have to.
Now you know where on the stick to mark her.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
A Winslet Blunt.
Winslet below
up there.
Some other people up there. She's not. I mean, she's not Megan Fox. Somewhere in the middle.
Well, okay.
I want you to leave Emily Blunt alone.
Why? Give me a reason to leave her. Give me a reason
Sunshine
to leave
cleaning.
Her. Fuck Sunshine.
I like Sunshine.
I know you guys do. That is horrible.
Young Victoria.
I haven't watched it, so okay.
K.O.
Jung's opinion, we all have a sixth sense, intuition. When you meet someone and you suddenly feel like you can't live without them, this could be the memory of a past love from the collective unconscious. Or it could just be hormones. I'm sorry, I can't concentrate. Rock stars have kidnapped my son.
Anyways, this week, tying in with the disappearance of Alice Creed, I wanted us to talk about our favorite kidnapping films.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you guys used to base the idea of a kidnapping movie.
And starting
so, Damien,
now.
What were your rules when you were coming up with films for this?
because you sent it out today.
Yes.
Very lax rules.
Gave me such, I mean, so much time for prep work.
I know.
I mean, especially because I sleep in the day. Thank you for that, Andrew.
I hope I kept you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm sure you did. So there are proper movies that have real kids up in them, and then there are not so proper movies. Which one do you guys
want? So you're saying you prepared two lists?
Not really. just one list.
Okay.
There's a list of movies that are allowable. So first of all, what are the allowables? Man on Fire.
Oh, that's really good, right. Actually. Yeah,
with Creasy Bear.
I love that movie.
Creasy Bear, that movie is awesome.
It is. I don't know what is wrong with you.
You're so wrong, I don't even know where to begin. That movie, I mean, if just blanked on his name.
Denzel Washington.
Right. Even if you didn't like Denzel before, I mean, even if Training Days didn't give you some glimpse into how good this guy was, this movie is terrific.
I actually hate that people use Training Day as his film. Like, Training Day is awesome.
What should be
awesome
his film?
Mm-hmm. But there's so many more.
No, I'm not saying. Look, I'm not saying that he didn't have good movies before that time, but that's the one that people point to. So I say, even if that one didn't grab you,
like, yeah. Actually, whenever I think of Denzel, the first movie that pops into my mind,
Paths of Glory.
Paths of Glory.
No, I know what you're talking about. That's the one with Matthew Broderick.
Glory.
Right?
Yeah,
actually, the one
Paths
I think
of
is Hurricane.
Oh, nah.
Really?
Yeah, I really love Hurricane, and I really love him in that movie.
Right.
Sorry.
I actually do like that movie, but.
That's not, yeah, I don't think of Denzel.
I didn't want to call Malcolm X. I wanted to leave that one alone.
Yeah, but that's, he's great in that too. So that, Man on Fire is one of the good ones.
I'm hoping you don't know any of mine.
Now for the bad, for one of the bad, Swordfish.
I love that at the time, not, you see.
Not allowable.
Oh my goodness.
They kidnap Hugh Jackman.
They do.
They
yeah.
do.
For like 2 seconds,
they do.
Right?
No, for the entire
the whole movie.
For like the entire movie. I love that movie because of the hacking. That cube,
yeah, like the cubes
that
come
cube
together,
shit in
and
the
then
six screens,
if he makes an
the,
error in his code, it just all
is
goes
the
away.
Dumbest shit I've ever seen in
before,
history.
Before my life is over, I'm going to create a program
that does that
in a graphical view that has that the word that. Boxing thing that will hack into a bank and give me all their money.
I just, what the fuck were they thinking? Alright, so I'm give. That's my first tour. You guys go around and I'll give you some other nonsense comments.
Man, I just came up with another one. And I'm writing it down. But okay, so I have, my picks are sprinkled with a lot of kind of shady ones, you know, like not quite acceptable, but sort of. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of movies that are good because they're bad, and there are a couple of movies that are just good. So I'll just start with the top of my list, I guess, and on top is The Trace Buster Buster with the big hit.
Damn it.
You even mentioned it earlier, so I was so upset. I was like, holy shit, he's going to steal it from me.
No, I didn't have it.
To dear God, you guys don't steal any of my movies.
Well, you know I've stolen a couple
the
of
Trace
years.
Well,
but,
you know which ones are mine, so
yeah.
I'm hoping you're going to be kind.
The
but,
big hit.
Yeah, the big hit. And keeping with
so
with largeness, I have to mention The Big Lebowski. I love that film.
There is a kidnapping in it, but I wouldn't call it a kidnapping.
What the main reason that all of this shit goes down, even though it's a fake kidnapping, is the kidnapping of the trophy wife.
The main reason is because a dude comes in and pisses on his rug.
Because the trophy wife has been.
If the pissing on the rug didn't occur, he wouldn't have talked to the real Lebowski, and then the real Lebowski wouldn't ask him to
whatever
come on
dude,
his other stuff.
Whatever, dude. The factor, the main thing that pushes this movie is
the small Lebowski trying to figure out what happened to the big Lebowski's wife. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
I'm going to leave it there.
And I will not talk about the other Coen Brothers movie that I have on my list that is an awesome kidnapping movie. And since we're going with two at a time, I guess it's your turn.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll mention that one right now.
Yeah.
I hope that Damon would steal it. Fargo.
Sons of bitches.
One of my favorite
Coen Brothers. Why didn't I just say all of them?
I know, right?
it's one of my favorite Coen Brothers films, like next to No Country for Old Men. Like, their comedy is always really odd. But in Fargo, it works completely. Especially because it toes the line between dark comedy and serious mystery really well.
Well, not quite mystery, because you know what's going on most of the time. Just kind of like...
crime. I should really put it more in the crime genre than mystery. Yeah, you're right. And I love it for that. Frances McDormand, she's awesome in that movie. And the other movie, another movie on my list that I thought of was Old Boy.
Seriously, why didn't I go first?
It is my favorite Park Chan-wook.
Damon, are you retarded?
And why does this happen? Because the guy is kidnapped for 15 years without explanation and then they just let him out. And what does
Yeah, that was always a great plan.
He immediately says, I need to find out who did this to me. And
where's that? Where's my axe?
He trains himself to fight while he's in room. And
an axe.
It's really awesome. I love that movie from head to toe.
He loves Old Boy. Can't believe it.
I don't.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Who could like a movie like that?
Back to Damien.
Alright. So first, the legit film. Taken. You guys are crazy
fucking
people for that.
Asshole. I have it here.
Of course you have
not
it. Taken.
Don't you steal something.
Yeah, because you guys haven't taken three movies off of my list. Alright, so there's Taken, which, I mean, it's Taken. I'll find you and I'll kill you.
There's a special set of skills.
The next movie is The Butcher Boy.
Really?
For hijacking me and Andrew. Yeah, this is I'm forcing us to do things we've never actually
wanted to do. Does this dog come here?
Nothing will ever compare.
Alright, so I guess that makes it my turn.
Yes.
And these two films are actually... neither of them are shaky in the sense that they're kidnapped films, but they're not serious films. Neither of them are, but they're great. The first one I have to talk about is 9 to 5, which is with Dolly Parton and Lily Tomlin.
I've never
and
seen that film.
It's
I know
really
of you, but
fun.
I've never seen it.
It's really, really good about these secretaries who kidnap their big boss and things go awry and it's
shocking.
Wonderful. Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's
could go wrong when you kidnap.
Yeah, but it's it has that 80s kind of feel, and you know I'm partial to that, and it just it's fantastic. Another one that I'm going to talk about, and I actually have talked about it on this podcast already, is Stardust. Stardust is a fantastic movie.
Where did the kidnapping happen?
Yvonne, the star,
mm-hmm.
gets kidnapped throughout the movie.
No, she was tricked.
What?
No.
What? She was tricked.
I'm just joking. I was like, what the fuck?
What movie did you watch? But no, that movie is stellar. I mean, Neil Gaiman, you write some mean ass stuff, and Matthew Vaughn, you are awesome. This movie was fantastic. I watch it. This is one of my most watched movies of late, at least.
and one of my most watched movies. Let me backpedal a bit.
Lately. and I have to say, it deserves it. And again, it's not a really serious movie, but it's just so fun. So it's just so great to watch. I can watch this any day of the week. Andrew?
So I started out with really serious,
yeah.
really hard kidnapping films, and now I'm going to go lighthearted, and I thank Douglas for moving me that way quickly. One that I really love is The Princess Bride.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Nor did I. When he told me, I was like, that's awesome.
I love that movie so much. Cary Elwes is the Man in Black, and you have the scenes with Inigo Montoya. I'm screwing up his name. Inigo Montoya.
It's weird because his character name is Indigo, but at the same time, when he says it, it sounds more like Inigo. I don't understand how that works.
Really? Even on IMDb, it says Inigo.
No, it says Indigo. I-N-D-I-G-O.
Okay.
Lurgus.
And even the scene
let's not fight
with the Sicilian, which I really love. And those
are less known. I love what he's like. You know, the biggest rule that you have, less known than you know, to get into a never get into a real estate fight with a Sicilian is that you know. He just keeps talking, and it's fantastic.
Inconceivable.
And apparently that was him. Like apparently he just said the lines and he was like, I don't get why this is funny, and everybody just cracked up around him.
What I really love, there was this story about Hank Azaria when he was doing he's still doing it, I believe, Simpsons.
Uh-huh.
And that guy who does the Sicilian, okay, came on to do some Simpsons with him. And the thing is that Hank Azaria does all his voices, and he's really good with voices, and he does all of his characters for people in the studio. And then the guy came around and was like, I heard you do me. Go. And, you know, I just found it funny when I heard that.
Okay.
Anyways, the other film on my list is Big Trouble in Little China. Kurt Russell and...
Kim Cattrall.
Whatever the hell. Oh, that's Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, that's Kim Cattrall.
Is in that movie. Yeah. Yes. I was actually trying to think of the director's name right now, which I'm blanking on.
I thought you were going to say something like
the guy
who
did The Thing.
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter, sorry.
Yeah.
When I think Kim Cattrall, I just think the old chick from Sex and the City. I didn't even realize it was her.
I think the slut from Sex and the City.
I know what Sex and the City is. They're all whores.
Big Trouble in Little China. Damien spoke about this a while back,
yeah,
and just echo everything he said then. Awesome. You know, the movie's awesome. I love John Carpenter and I love Kurt Russell.
Who did they kidnap again?
The Chinese girl. The green-eyed girl. Was it green eyes?
Oh, both of them, actually. Yes. Cattrall got
both
kidnapped.
Green eyes.
Well, she got kidnapped later, but the whole movie started with the Chinese girl kidnapped.
Well, she got kidnapped afterwards.
Unimportant.
Alright. So,
I like the way this one is starting.
No. So back to the movie. So Kill Bill technically kidnapped the daughter.
He
shot her and took the daughter.
Cut her out of her.
And whoa, she came back for the daughter.
Alright, okay.
Right, so. Right, that's not the legit one. That's just one I
guess that's a hung jury right here.
That's just one I thought.
I'll allow it.
He took the daughter, right? Yeah, technically that's kidnapping. Right.
All technicalities, I guess.
Proof of Life. I don't know why
I like that movie.
I remember
actually
watching it a long time ago and liking it. Yeah.
And that movie, shockingly enough, is about kidnapping.
Yeah, and shockingly enough, I believe not only was that movie about kidnapping, but during that movie, Russell Crowe kidnapped Meg Ryan from Dennis Quaid. I believe that's what happened. So I like how, you know, art kind of reflects life, but So
I was trying to work in the negotiator into one of my things. You don't really kidnap
there's
anybody.
There's no, yeah. Well, you
can
say
kidnap,
that he kidnapped all of those
right,
guys.
All
in
of
the,
those people,
you know.
Guys, but that's
John
that's
C.
Weak.
Riley, I love that guy.
He's weak. Even for my son, that's all right, weak.
So I'm finally going to give you a serious movie about kidnapping. And that movie is Buried. And I love that movie.
Oh, fuck.
That movie was awesome.
Yes, Douglas got to watch an awesome movie that we haven't watched.
If I could work in catfishing this, I would, but I can't. I'm sorry.
I think I'd slap you if you mentioned catfish as possible for this list, because then I know
you know exactly. He'd be like, shit, does Facebook kidnap Mr. Naveen, whatever his name is? Okay, so yes, there's Buried, and okay, I don't know, I think you've watched it, I'm pretty sure you haven't. Have you watched Human Nature?
That's the one with Ben Affleck?
Human Nature is...
Oh, wait, no, that's the one with Reese Fans.
Yes, Reese Fans.
Oh, yes, I have seen it.
You have, okay. That is my pick. And I pick it because technically Tim Robbins kidnapped Reese Fans.
And puts him in a
box. Puts him in a cage.
And
teaches him...
human.
Exactly, right? So that is my sort of... One of my Damien... illegitimate picks there.
Kind of like Internet when you just see him go like fucking shit.
I love that movie.
I didn't love it, but yeah. I just have one more and then I'm done for this. And my final pick is gonna be Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay, a question I have to pose to you now. Were any of these picks that you made put in your mind after that post that you made 2 years ago? Is there anything that you have said today that is not in that post?
No.
You are a cock, Damien.
Yes, I did a top five on this very topic 2 years ago on the website. And I'm just,
and then you gave us 5 minutes to hopefully scramble together at least. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
You're not an asshole at all.
I thought of Taken afterwards, but
you're super.
But that got taken.
Indiana Jones, it's kind of an awesome franchise.
I don't remember what
what?
Oh no, I remember. Never
mind. And even though in all of the films at some point the woman is kidnapped and taken somewhere, in the third one it all begins because his father is in trouble and he has to go and save him. And that's kind of why I picked it for this. It works and I love the movie. Even though I still kind of feel wonky about towards the end when they have to do the three trials. Like, I loved it as a child, but when I rewatched it lately...
Shut up. I don't want to hear any second guessing of my nostalgia. Shut up.
Yeah, that usually works.
Yep, so I'm done.
So, look. All my decisions as a child were flawless. Alright, these two are not legit. Not even close. So there's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Really?
Where is your kid?
Explain.
Movie?
Explain, sir.
So
are you saying that Clint Eastwood kidnaps
no,
the bad
he was
guy
kidnapped.
And
he kidnaps Tuco?
No, he was kidnapped when he was drawn through the desert. He was kidnapped. It was about a half an hour somewhere in the movie. And, Speed. Dead Speed.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go with Maverick. Maverick is my kidnap movie. Because he was apparently kidnapped in the movie and then tried to be hung. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Yeah?
No, I'll give you.
You give me that. Okay. Okay.
I just said Speed and I can't really stand here. I had to do that because you guys took three of my picks really early on.
When you look at all of the movies that we've mentioned so far, unlike the Alice Creed film, which mm-hmm. we spoke about, all of our films are always from the position shown to us from the position of either the kidnappee or someone chasing after the kidnappers. It's never the kidnapper's perspective, which is
no,
what Alice
9 to 5
gave
is
us.
The kidnapper's, definitely.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
And
Stardust too, actually. If you think about it. Oh my goodness. I love that movie. I love it to death.
Technically.
Oh my goodness.
They were going to shoot him.
I had the best time when I watched that movie. Why? Somebody, not because the movie was good, but because me and Bradley Levine, we made fun of the movie the that whole way through.
Why did you use his full name? Like, that's what I'm curious as to. Like, should I Google him?
Shit, maybe you should. Maybe he's, you know, the next big thing. I don't know. But okay, so I'll talk about a couple more kidnapping films. And these are fairly illegitimate.
No shit.
So we've got Wild Target, which is one of Rupert Grint's movies with Bill Nye.
Didn't that
and
come
Emily
out like
Blunt.
Last year?
Yeah, it came out a while ago.
In the UK.
Yeah. It's just coming out now in the States, I think.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
We are all so stupid.
I don't finish my list.
So stupid. Chris Nolan did a movie this year.
Did he?
And none of us thought of it.
Nothing.
In a sense,
they did
yeah.
it.
Oh, okay.
Time and time again.
Okay. Yeah.
At the start of the movie, they kidnap the Chinese guy.
How do you get into his dreams?
And they kidnap the rich dude at the end of the
movie. Anyway, there's Wild Target where Emily Blunt kind of gets kidnapped.
I love that. It's so stupid. Just keel it over. Arrgh.
Also, there is Transporter. All
right, let's be clear.
He didn't kidnap her.
He didn't kidnap her,
and he let her out as soon as he figured out it was a person. So how is that kidnapping?
They kidnap... in the first movie, they kidnap the girl. In the second movie, they kidnap the boy. And the third movie is just bad.
I enjoyed the third movie.
No, I'm just joking.
In the first movie, they kidnapped the girl. I'm sure he lets
the bomb. That was awesome. That is the greatest Transporter movie of all time.
But listen, so Andrew, even if you don't take the girl as being kidnapped, which by the way, I think she was.
The first one, they kidnapped.
You also have her whole family being kidnapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
That whole
trailer.
You know.
I'm sitting over here.
With an unopened beer. I don't understand. But
one.
Yep.
But
okay.
But
you get like five because you got.
Yeah, no, I've won. It took me a long time to come up with a winner.
Like, we stole so much from you.
Yeah.
And you magically just pulled it out of your ass.
But there's also The In-Laws. I believe that's the name of both of those movies, and I love both of them.
Douglas and
there's a new one with Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks, but the one I was really thinking of. Exactly. That is not in the good one. That is in the good one with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin. Peter Falk, Columbo.
I'm joking, sir.
Okay, sorry. That movie is fantastic. I actually do like the remake as well, but it's. Leagues the first one is leagues ahead of the remake, and oh my goodness, Serpentine is just the best line ever. And he walks back, he's like, oh shit, I'm not serpentining, I have to now walk back to then serpentine.
I just thought of two more with our piece. One is so dumb. I'm so annoyed with my brain right now.
come on, let it out.
Come on, tell us.
Shit.
Holy shit. Come on.
Vin Diesel is in one of them.
Oh boy.
Oh shit, I don't like how
this is already. Let's think of all the shitty videos and movies, and there's one with a very explicit kidnapping.
Oh shit. No. It's not the one where he's like the nanny. Is that the one? Shit.
Oh crap.
Oh my goodness. Oh Damien, why?
I actually watched that movie.
So did I. Why did you
it's
remind
not my
me of
fault.
That movie?
I don't like my brain works.
And what's the other movie that
I
came
don't
to
mind? Really, the other one is really, really bad.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
You've ruined us already with the past fight. You can't go much lower.
Alright, so there's bikes.
Oh, not Torque.
I actually
never
finished that movie.
I never even started that movie, actually.
That's
I never
Biker
watched
Boys.
It.
I never finished two of them.
I've watched both of them.
What is wrong with me?
Although Torque is awesome. It's not good.
And on that note...
It is not good. No, I love that movie. And it is terrible. That movie is horrible. I don't know why. Okay, I'm a sick man.
And with that, I guess we can end this week's podcast.
Yeah, I've just thrown myself under the bus. nothing else I say is good will ever, I can't be legitimized so ever again.
It's the fact that I said I love the mist. I hate the fact that he's talking about torque.
Oh, shit.
So you can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find all my writings there, as well as you can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews, and you can friend us on Facebook, Facebook.com/gmanreviews. Facebook.com/gmanreviews.
We have a fan page.
Yes, we have a fan page, and there are 98 people who like gmanreviews.
That
reviews.
Is impossible.
Well, you can find me at DJ R Lost His Name. That's my Twitter name.
What's your Facebook name?
My Facebook name. Actually, I think that is my Facebook name. I think so. I think that's my username on Facebook. If you want to friend me, go there. Or, you know, just look for Douglas Robinson. Woo-hoo!
I remember when Facebook was just about banging college people.
Damn right.
In 2005, when you did just come.
What's the social network?
2004,
I mean,
sir.
Whatever.
I was on that shit in 2004.
I was on camera. I remember, at UE, there was like three people that had it at the start of the semester. And by like October, everyone had it. I was just a way to find out who other people was banging. It's so sad to see where Facebook has gone. Grandmothers are on Facebook. No one wants to see that shit.
Anyways, thanks for listening and good night.